Vidro Azul. Duas horas de viagem neste e noutro tempo. Por paisagens de sombra e nevoeiro. Um programa de Ricardo Mariano.
Vidro Azul durante as próximas duas horas e hoje, nesta primeira parte, vamos navegar por águas oníricas, recordando alguns temas, misturando com outros novos. E começamos com a ideia musical de Warren Hildebrand, um canadiano que vive em Nova York, projeto Foxes and Fiction, a abrir e do disco Ontario Gothic Into the Fields. Boa noite. Bem-vindos.
Thank you. Thank you.
Abertura com Into the Fields, Foxes in Fiction, logo depois Sun Lux, o projeto, o trio liderado por Ryan Lott, eles que há poucas semanas acabaram uma trilogia de Tomorrows, três discos num curto espaço de tempo, menos de um ano. Prometem, se tudo correr bem, tocar em Portugal no festival Superbox Super Rock, da banda sonora de Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby e dos Sun Lux, por aqui No Fate Awaits Me. E seguimos em frente com a ideia que junta Simon Raymond, dos Cocteau Twins, e Richie Thomas, ex-baterista dos Cocteau Twins e de outros projetos como The Jesus and Mary Chain ou Felt. Lost Horizons, última edição a juntar, como sempre, uma série de nomes. No caso, e aqui, John Grant vem em Cordelia dentro de In Quiet Moments.
Thank you. Please.
No ano passado editou Weaving a Basket, um belíssimo título de temas longos, muito atmosféricos. É sempre assim a música da canadiana Sia Olina. Dela recordámos o tema-título para Shallow. Para seguirmos em frente com o disco em dois volumes editado em março pelo produtor, músico norte-americano Alex Summers, ele que trabalha regularmente com o Sugar Ross e com Johnsy, de Siblings, Deathbed, Alex Summers. Depois, tal como há umas semanas, voltamos à música do galês Ian Hazeldine. Alex Summers, de Siblings, o primeiro volume de Siblings, edições de março, Deathbed, depois Antonyms, de Like Rumors of Hushed Thunder, esta meditativa peça ao piano, 300,210, e em frente com um ensemble experimental que junta aqui e ali vozes. Chamam-se Second Moon of Winter, vem da Irlanda, de One for Sorrow, Two for Joy, Come Around.
Thank you. The journal starts late. 6 weeks into the making of Grief Point, first off is May Day, a song in honor of May 1st and the workers. Can you still be against the strike that only strikes for more pay? By you, in this instance, I mean me. There is a certain kind of person to whom things come with great facility. They say this is the noise that gets made as my life is lived, so be it. But don't feel the need to record it. For a second I thought this meant that they were not interested in history, but that's wrong. Wrong. A bad reading of the situation. The right reading is that I just don't understand it at all. Grief Point and May Day by extension suffers from the same old shit. A potential complete ignorance of ambience, real ambience, in that can you really construct it, every last bit of it, and just let the listener feel its effects? And is this the right treatment? Always the same question. In this case, I would maybe say yes, just because it forces form onto the thing. Thing is a bunch of words, two melodies, and the words sung in a handful of ways. Between J and D, of course, the same old war rages, one into a tight and perfect digital palace, but super true to the genre, the other wanting to throw in actual sounds, mix it up, humanize. It's cool how, for my part, this sleight of hand, the trick of making something confounding and great and potentially horrible drawn up from air, all this is no longer of any interest. In fact, even seeing things in this light depresses me. And so I often come home at night depressed by what we have done, what we are doing. It's good, it means I've changed. I have lost interest in music. It is horrible. I should only make things I understand. I should only make things I know how to construct, however imperfect. It's not even like dictating to someone. It's less than that. Mayday itself is pretty cool, I have to admit. It condemns the world at such an easy pace. I intend to tell T it is like a happy shooting rockets, a disgusting description of anything, to be sure. I think the world does not like me grim. It likes me melancholic, but not miserable. English on the Mediterranean, which is oddly enough some of the worst people there is. At some point, when it is made, I will explain this record, word for word, swear to God. An ape with angel glands, when I know if that is good or bad, I'll know what is good and what is bad. The answer to the making of Grief Point is picnic baskets filled with blood. To it, nothing at stake. Blank had to write lyrics for his songs, they would be cumbersome, pale blocks like his riffs, but pale. So instead he went out and found a whaler too stupid to commit to a single thing. I assume not lighting up at the sight of your mother is a sign of madness in an infant. Patina, no name for a baby. Your firstborn before they threw you from the bridge. Wagner wrestles his dogs to the floor. Such a beautiful scene for some. Favorite plays don't perform them. The message from the critical reception of Dreams was quite clear. We will not be listening to you any further. Of course, some tension is created. Cosmonaut in a breadline, etc. I watched a pig devour the classics just to get to you. The barge endlessly circling, your mind finds out. It is done.
Há uns anos, Destroyer, de Dan Bajar, editou um EP em que desenvolveu uma faixa com dois nomes grandes da cena instrumental e ambiental canadiana, Tim Hacker e Lushill, porque o trabalho com Lushill vem em Archer on the Beach. E seguimos em frente com a belíssima peça ao piano, formato single de Candles in a Church, Wushfelt, produção do ex-Cocteau Twins Robin Guthrie.
Thank you. Art thou pale for weariness of climbing heaven and gazing on the earth, wandering companionless among the stars that have a different birth, and ever changing like a joyless eye that finds no object worth its constancy?
Altura de fecharmos esta primeira parte, muito etérea, do Vidro Azul, Single novo de Olivia Ardizzone e alter ego Greenhouse, há pouco Fine Home. Depois, o disco acabadinho de sair que junta Marianne Faithfull a Warren Ellis, ela que declama uma série de poemas dos românticos ingleses Byron, Hood, Keats, Shelley, entre outros, também Shakespeare, como nesta To the Moon, aqui também com a colaboração do violoncelista Vincent Segal, ela que conta para além de Warren Ellis com Nick Cave e Brian Eno em alguns apontamentos deste She Walks in Beauty. E fechamos com alguém que regressou em nome próprio há umas semanas. Chama-se Spencer Krug, mas vamos até ao alter ego Moonface a fechar esta primeira parte de Fog. Fiquem nesse lado, voltamos a seguir ao bloco horário.
He dreams that Neptune is a prophet and Jupiter a healer, and so wakes up thinking they are more than stars. And he cannot tell the difference between a heartbeat and a wave. He has a bad, bad sense of time. And she's a queen, she gives beyond her means, too pure to see through his raggedy disguise. She cannot tell the difference between a photograph of lovers on a beach and a man in rags and feathers in the trees. She says, don't tie the blindfold quite so tight this time. He says, don't love me to death, and I won't love you to death. She says, I won't love you to death if you don't love me to death. He says, I won't tie the blindfold quite so tight this time. And then he takes her by the elbow, back down towards the sea, where they become two very old and senile sailors, going in and going out, and going in and going out, and going in and going out of the fog.
And going in and going out again and going in.